Welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill, the pastor of Providence Presbyterian Church, located in Evansville, Indiana. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. If you'd like to find out more information about the church, you can visit our website. That information will be provided to you at the end of this devotional. Today is Thursday, August 24th, 2023. This is edition number 143 of Season 8 as we continue looking at the Westminster Confession of Faith. We are in chapter 25. Today we'll consider paragraph number 3. Let's pray together first, and then we'll take up this paragraph. Our Father in heaven, as we once again come to these very important truths as given to us in your word, as we consider matters pertaining to the visible church and all that you have granted to her and all that you've given her that you might perfect your people and persevere them to the very end. We thank you for the church, the fellowship of your people, and all of the ordinances that you have given to her, the word and sacraments and prayer. We pray that you would bless those things to the hearts and minds of your people. You would bless our time together now, that we would further understand your church, its purpose in this world. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, as I said, we come to paragraph number 3 of chapter 25. We're continuing our examination of matters pertaining to the visible church. Now, let me just again remind you that we are not talking about the invisible church. We are talking about the visible church. The difference, of course, is that the invisible church is known only to God in a perfect way. The visible church is that which we witness and we see every Lord's Day when we gather together for worship, as we gather together as God's people, those people sitting there who have made a public profession of faith, who have joined with the church. Those are the visible church. And these are the matters that these things in this chapter are speaking to as we work our way through it. So paragraph number 3 says, "Unto this Catholic visible church, Christ hath given the ministry, oracles, and ordinances of God for the gathering and perfecting of the saints in this life to the end of the world, and doth by his own presence and spirit, according to his promise, make them effectual thereunto." Now, there's a lot of things here to consider, and of course, because of the time length of this devotional and the nature of it, we're not going to go very deep into any of these things. But first, let me just highlight the fact that we, as I've already said, we are talking about the Catholic Church, not the Roman Catholic Church, but the Catholic Church in the sense of which it's universal. We noted that in paragraph number 2, that word Catholic there just means the universal church. Wherever she may be found, wherever the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is located, whether it's in your hometown or somebody else's, it is part and parcel of the visible church. Now, to this church, Christ, the King and Head of the church, has given these three things, given the ministry, oracles, and ordinances of God for a particular purpose. Now, let's just talk a little bit about the ministry, oracles, and ordinances of God. We could take these really under one category and then divide them very neatly if that would help. But we're talking about the ministry. We're talking about ministering to God's people. We're talking about ministering to the sheep of God's pasture. That is to say, this paragraph is, in fact, a promise to the end of the world to those who serve in that capacity, either as pastor, minister, or elder of the church. And so that is their role, that is their responsibility within the life of the church. They are to do these things for the good of God's people. And it says as much there in that prepositional phrase, for the gathering and perfecting of the saints in this life. And so they are to minister to the needs of the people. That is not always convenient. It's not always easy to do. Every one of the members of this church that I pastor, they're very different people. And they have very different needs. Some have very little need of me to be involved in their lives, and then there are others who have a tremendous need, it seems, to be involved, and then there's everything in between. But also to this church, Christ has given the oracles and ordinances of God. Now, the oracles are simply those things that are given to us in His Word. And that is to say that the Word of God has been given specifically and particularly to the church, again, for the perfecting, the gathering and perfecting of the saints. Those ordinances, those things that we know as the means of grace, the Word, sacraments, and prayer. These all are uniquely given to the church for a specific and a particular purpose. They are not just given to the church that we might have something to do on the Lord's Day. A couple of verses that may help here. 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, and so forth, as given to us in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. But again, these things are given to the church. They are, as Paul says later in Ephesians chapter 4, and verses 11 through 13, he gives these things to the church, and particularly gives these people to the church as gifts to his people. And so in verse 11, we read, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers for what purpose? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. That is to say that everybody is supposed to be doing ministry. Everybody's supposed to be involved in the work of advancing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, these things are given to the church that we might not be, as Paul says in verse 14, that we may no longer be like children, but that we might grow up. And it's much the same way in your own house. You have a baby, comes home, you don't start feeding it steak and potatoes from day one. You start out slowly, you give the baby what it can handle, but you expect it to grow out of that baby food at some point. Nothing more repugnant, I suspect, than to see a 35-year-old man eating baby food under normal circumstances. No, they should have matured by now to something far more fulfilling. And so the church, of course, these gifts are given to the church that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. In other words, one of the things that those gifts that Christ gives to the church, those ministers and elders, they're supposed to do is they're supposed to encourage growth, maturity, protection, that the sheep may not come under attack from the efforts of the evil one or from false doctrines and other types of matters. These things are given, as our confession tells us, for the gathering and perfecting of the saints in this life to the end of the world. So this is a promise that will last into for all time until Christ returns. And these are done under the supervision or under the guidance and direction of the Spirit of God, and is done according to those promises that he has made, that they may become effectual thereunto. And so the Word of God preached is an effectual means of perfecting the body of Christ. Prayer is an effectual means of perfecting the body of Christ. And the sacraments are effectual means of perfecting the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Later on, we read in our shorter catechism, on this matter of these matters that are effectual to us, in question 89 of the Shorter Catechism, how is the Word made effectual to salvation? The Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners, and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. Question number 91, how did the sacraments become effectual means of salvation? The sacraments become effectual means of salvation, not from any virtue in them or in him that doth administer them, but only by the blessing of Christ and the working of his spirit in them that by faith receive them. And so Christ has given these to the church uniquely and specifically that he might strengthen his people and he might grow them up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. While I trust these times are helpful for you, I hope they are. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. The way to reach me is there before you on the screen. And so until the Friday edition, when we consider paragraph number 4 of this 25th chapter, may the Lord help you today. May you walk according to all that He has commanded you in His Word. God bless.